The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And welcome to another day, and this ought to be a really good one. It is Tuesday as we begin to say goodbye to September, but we have a lot to share with you. Obviously, you have heard about the hurricane. It's wreaking havoc. We'll talk about what changes it may have had on football games, and there are plenty out there right now. The Hurricanes have affected the Gamecocks. They'll play SC State on Thursday, and Florida has moved its game with Eastern Washington to Sunday. We'll give you more information about both, but obviously Tampa right now, the Tampa-St. Pete area, in the eye of the storm, affecting pretty much everything in its wake. Meanwhile, from the state of Alabama, they got a three-game stretch that will test the tide, to put it mildly. Arkansas, not that big of a favorite there by Alabama standards. Texas A&M, and of course, they're at Tennessee. What about LSU? Brian Kelly heading to Auburn this weekend, then has Tennessee. And let's break some news here. He said, this month will tell us a lot about ourselves. Yeah, you see the percentages there. Pretty good chance against Auburn, even against Tennessee. They're looking pretty good in every game but Alabama. Is that possible? These are just predictions, remember. There are upsets every week. The Dogs are looking for a playmaker as they head to Missouri. That may help them find one. Kirby Smart unhappy with the most recent visit against Kent State. Ole Miss has new headline here about the helmets. You like it? Ole Miss always has a new trick up its sleeve. Speaking of Ole Miss, we will be there Friday afternoon. Well, that's what is making the news right now. We'll talk to some of the people that are helping to make that news, including Ben Portnoy about the changes. Later on, GMAC will join us, Stinch. And have you heard about Megan Maroney's new hit? It's called Tennessee Orange. Country singer just came out with a song. She's a Georgia grad, used to wearing red, met a Tennessee boy. And he has her wearing Tennessee orange. Sounds catchy? Well, when the Tennessee Vols are ranked as high as they are, even country music songs make Tennessee fans feel better. And you will meet her here in a couple of hours. So let's get to the phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. We begin with Bill in Napa. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
So, we're obviously big Brock Bowers fans over here, known the kid since he's 10. And now, you know, he's the last couple of games, he's again bursted on the scene after a little slow start, only had 95 yards in the first couple of games. So, a couple of questions. One, you know, they're projecting him now, when he comes out, I'm sure he's going to probably come out his junior year, you know, with his skill set, never seen anything like it, really. One, do you project him to be a higher tight end pick than Pitts came out when Alabama drafted him Atlanta drafted him fourth overall? And then have you ever seen anything like this kid as far as a tight end, and where do you rank him as a tight end in your experience of seeing him?
Yeah, Bill, thanks for the call. First of all, let me make it very clear. I am not a draft expert, so I don't rank these guys. I leave it to the experts to do so, and then we see how accurate they are. I mean, to me, he looks in the same zip code as Pitts. I think he's one of the most unique players I've ever watched, so he can do pretty much everything, and it has become an incredibly valuable position on the field. Thank you very much. Charlie from Wicksburg. You are next up. Hello, Charlie.
Stomp. Paul, you're making your show great again.
Thank you. That's the aim.
Hey, you know, you them cockroach callers, I've never heard you put Jeff in his place like that before. Congratulations on making that Big Ten guy going, hey, this is SEC Network. What you doing calling us? And, you know, I like Legend. Legend makes your show better, and – you know what? You want to talk about some low-hanging fruit. Jim, oh, man, he comes crawling back. He quits the show. You shutting Jim down. I mean, he's just crawling back, and Jeff's jumping on his bandwagon. And, you know, our man's sort of being cordial these days. He ain't got much to say about us Bammers because, I mean, look at what kind of shape Harson is. But you know what? Let's say some prayers for Snake and his mom and Ian. And here's for all these SEC wannabes out there that can keep their auditions for somebody who ain't got nothing to lose. Because we can tell by the lines they're reciting, the SEC seen that movie too.
Seth is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Seth.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
I was curious what you thought about how Kentucky's receivers have kind of bursted onto the scene, and they've done really well over expectations.
Yeah, they have, and I'm really looking, as we talked to Will Levis yesterday, I'm really looking forward to seeing Rodriguez join the party this Saturday in Oxford. Hey, thanks for the call. Things are really going great for them. Dan is in Louisiana. It's been a long time, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Paul, I'm excited about the Tigers. They are on a roll. But why, Paul, why aren't they even considered in the rankings? They're going to have to be Tennessee before they'll be ranked?
Yeah, well, I think so, Dan, considering they lost to Florida State in what was essentially a home game, and they've only played one other decent team since then. So where do you think they should be ranked?
I think at least, you know, in the top 25.
Well, they beat Mississippi State, and that's it. I think you're going to have to wait for them to play a couple of better teams, Dan, and they will. Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama. Don't despair over the rankings. It's way, way, way too early. Chris is in Louisiana. Hello, Chris.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, man, I wanted to see, do you think Brian Kelly is the right guy for LSU?
Yes, I do. I think he's a tremendous improvement over the previous two coaches, and I know what those previous two coaches did, but he's a much better coach. I think it will take him a little bit of time to build a championship program, but I think he's putting the ingredients together right now without many of his own players. Let's continue. And Gene is in Nashville. Hey, Gene.
Yes, Paul. I wanted to mention two items. Number one, the last three times LSU and Tennessee played, they insist on both teams using the same two uniform colors, orange and white. And of all the games I've ever seen anywhere, American football needs contrasting colors on the field more than any game I've ever seen. The other question was a New York Times story last Saturday that said that the UCLA going to the Big Ten is not a done deal, and the general counsel for the University of California said that they do have the authority to nix the whole thing.
Yeah, I think on the UCLA situation, Gene, I think it's highly unlikely that that will happen. I know there's a lot of politics involved. The governor got involved. The Pac-12 commissioner got involved. But I think that move is going to happen because there's just so much money, and besides, there's so many bad feelings. UCLA needs a shift. Right now, they are really suffering, I think, where they currently go, and there are few schools that are more dependent on one another than UCLA and SC. Hey, thank you for the call. We're going to hit the break here, get an update on the hurricane, what it means to college football this weekend. Could there be any other games affected? As we say hello to Ben Portnoy in a minute, he covers the Gamecocks. We'll talk to him shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So let's welcome you back and say hello to Ben Portnoy. He covers the Gamecocks for the state. Ben, thank you. Let's catch everybody up on what Beamer was talking about there. It's not unusual for South Carolina to switch games around, but take us through the backstory as we say hello to you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul. It's been a little bit of a crazy kind of 48 hours with the hurricane coming down on Florida and sort of projected to go up here toward Columbia. Things have kind of been in motion, at least kind of the last 24, 48 hours, to try and get things figured out, whether it was going to be a later kickoff, whether they had to move games, whether that was to Sunday, to Thursday, Friday, whatever it might be. And obviously South Carolina settled on Thursday, as we reported in the school announced earlier today.
So beyond the game, and it will be Thursday night, and Coach Beamer did a pretty good sell on how attractive this game is. What should we expect Thursday night?
I think you'll expect a lot of what you saw against Charlotte last week. I mean, this was a South Carolina team that kind of boat raced Charlotte, at least in the second half offensively. It should be a game that, you know, the Gamecocks should be able to handle with ease. It does make for an interesting matchup for sure. I mean, Buddy Pough, the head coach of South Carolina State, is a legend in the state and a guy that a lot of people around town and in this state think really highly of. And, you know, Shane kind of mentioned it a little bit there. I mean, people kind of forget that the South Carolina State beat Jackson State last year for a national championship. And as much as we talk about Deion Sanders, Jackson State, and all the good that he's done, you know, Buddy Pough is a guy who's been doing this for a long, long time. And I think, you know, that adds to some intrigue to this. And as a guy who was an assistant at South Carolina under Lou Holtz back in the day. So there's some fun stuff on that side of things. But as far as the actual game, I mean, I think this should be a game that South Carolina should handle with ease and kind of set themselves up for a really crucial game at Kentucky in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but Ben, what's not fun is the 0-2 record, which is not a big surprise when you consider where these games, you know, were and against which opponent, Arkansas and then home against Georgia. What has surprised people is just maybe it's Georgia, but South Carolina looked really, really rough, and it just seemed from a distance that some of the air of the Shane train seemed to evaporate. What's it like there?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, the sort of cliche of the honeymoon phase is over a little bit. I think you're into year two. The bullets have started flying a little bit, and you've seen things that, you know, have been, you know, haven't necessarily been up to snuff as they were. You know, things have kind of stayed as they were a year ago, as opposed to getting that much better. Now, I think offensively, that's the biggest thing you'll talk about with the South Carolina team, is you thought they might be able to take a step forward and be able to move the ball, especially with Spencer Rattler and some other skill position guys that they brought in. But it hasn't looked great in SEC play. There were some moments in the Arkansas game, I think, that this group looked pretty explosive, and that was against, obviously, an Arkansas team that was down a couple of defensive backs at the time, but really was hamstrung by Georgia and couldn't get anything going. And then, you know, you play a team in Charlotte last week who's dead last in the FBS coming into the game, allowing, you know, 560-some yards a game. So you'd expect South Carolina to be able to put up, you know, 56 points like they did, but it's been a little up and down. I will say I think South Carolina looks better in terms of – there's very few times outside of maybe the Georgia game that you've looked around and thought, okay, this team has no idea what it wants to do offensively. I think South Carolina knows what it wants to do a little bit better. It looks a little cleaner. It looks a little more athletic. It looks a little more organized. But, you know, again, we haven't necessarily seen that in SEC play so far. Now, how much of that is matchup and who they've played versus, you know, what we'll see down the stretch, we'll see. But it's a crucial couple of weeks here coming up with the trip to Kentucky. You got A&M coming here. You've got Missouri coming here, a bye week in there somewhere as well. So it's a really crucial couple of weeks for South Carolina. And it sets up nicely to having, you know, Charlotte and South Carolina State to kind of springboard you into that really crucial stretch.
Ben, everyone knows what happened last year, and you know, I think we talked in Atlanta about maybe Shane Beamer won too many games, and I don't want to turn the screws on him, but it's obvious this, unless something really changes, this is not going to be a great season. What kind of season do you think it's going to end up being realistically?
I think your best case is probably 7-5-ish. I mean, if you're South Carolina, you feel pretty confident that you can get to a bowl game, but that entails holding serve and then also beating someone you probably shouldn't, right? And I guess that's true, you know, more years than not with South Carolina. But, you know, you probably expect them to beat South Carolina State. You expect them to beat Vanderbilt and Missouri. But outside of that, that leaves you again with Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida probably as the games that you would pick maybe to win. You know, Clemson's on the schedule out there as well. But that still leaves South Carolina with a bunch of games that they're not going to be favored in, that they've got to steal one just to get bowl eligible.
But Ben, I've got to ask you, and I realize upsets occur, but why? What have we seen so far that would allow us to believe that this is going to be a 7-5 team versus a 5-7 team?
I think you're closer to a 5-7 team than a 7-5 team. I mean, I think things would have to break right for South Carolina to get to 7-8 wins like folks thought might happen early in the season. I mean, I think that, you know, just with the schedule and what it is, I mean, that's just kind of how it shakes out. Now, I think A&M's maybe a more beatable team than we thought it might be coming into the preseason. Coming into the preseason, I think, you know, that you could say the same, that Tennessee's probably better than we thought they might be, or at least I thought. And I think that there are some games out there that you could win, but again, it's so daunting. And I think that it's not crazy to imagine South Carolina going 5-7 and missing a bowl game in year two, which it's not catastrophic. I mean, Shane Beamer's recruiting at a really high level and things are still moving in the right direction, but it definitely would be a little bit of a damper after a really, really highly successful and, you know, kind of like we talked about, a little bit of a ahead of schedule year one as well.
And I realize I'm being a negative Nelly here, but I'm more on the 5-7 train than maybe others. Based on what I've seen, but assuming that is the case, I mean, and recruiting is good, but most recruiting is good around the SEC. What have you seen, and what should fans, and why should fans believe that anything is really going to change in South Carolina other than a lot of buzz that occurred when Shane arrived?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in terms of the actual on-field stuff, the offense hasn't been as good as we, you know, it hasn't quite taken the step forward that we thought it might, at least early so far. And again, I mean, there's still 8 games left, so we'll see. But I think that if that's not the case, I mean, it's not crazy to imagine there being staff changes after the season, given how things went last year. I mean, those things happen. That's how these things go in the SEC especially. So it wouldn't be surprising to see if there were any kind of shakeup on that side of the ball, if things stayed kind of middle of the rung or middle of the pack or toward the bottom of the SEC. Now, again, I think that there are some moments, you know, I think South Carolina looked pretty good against Arkansas for most of that game. Georgia was kind of a nightmare, but looked good against Charlotte, which, take it with a grain of salt, again, it's Charlotte. But I think that, you know, if you're Shane Beamer, if you're this program, if you're fans of this program, I think things are moving in the right direction, maybe not as quickly as folks would like. I mean, you know, look at Josh Heupel at Tennessee, right? Things jumped
really. Well, Ben, that's where I'm going, because Florida, in spite of losing, it looks like there's tremendous momentum with Billy Napier. Tennessee has exceeded expectations. Kentucky is on a roll. I mean, those are some of your biggest opponents. Yeah, Missouri looks like a lost cause, but that wasn't a really concern anyway. I'm trying to get a grasp on, you know, considering the recruiting playgrounds that South Carolina is in. I mean, I know hype is great, and nobody talks a bigger and better game than Shane Beamer, but I'm just trying to find a reason to believe. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, I think the recruiting, and it's a simple pitch, but I mean, South Carolina's on pace for probably a top 15 class or one of its best classes that it would have signed in the last 10, 15, 20 years. And take that with a grain of salt, for sure. Obviously, you got to develop those guys, but South Carolina's done a good job on that front. They brought in some guys that they needed to get and hit on the guys at the top of their board. And that's been impressive. They've done a lot of interesting stuff with NIL in terms of in-house stuff that they're doing here on campus. And I think that's going to factor into that side of things as well. And I think that, you know, beyond that, I think Shane Beamer, frankly, is just a guy that people want to play for. I think that transfer-wise, most of the transfers that they've brought in have played pretty well. Spencer Rattler, you know, has been a little bit up and down, but there's been some flashes. And you can say the same for most of the rest of the guys that they've brought in. So I think there's a world where South Carolina can, you know, recruit in sort of that middle part of the SEC, bring in some transfers that make a difference and kind of, you know, hope that you punch above your weight a little bit. But like you said, I mean, look, you look at what Tennessee is doing, what Florida is doing, what Kentucky's doing. And obviously, Georgia's kind of the Death Star right now. I mean, at best, South Carolina's probably punching up to what, second or third in the East? And obviously, divisions will go away eventually, but it still puts you in a tricky spot. And is part of why it's been such a tricky place to win for so many years outside of, you know, that sort of 3-year run with Steve Spurrier.
Ben Portnoy covers the Gamecocks. Always great to see you, Ben. Thanks for giving us the latest on the game change Saturday to Thursday. We'll take a short break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's get back to the calls, and Bruce is up next in Florida. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Paul. I was feeling real special last week. I think it was Wednesday, and I managed to get a hold of you twice. And then all of a sudden, you hung up on me. I was real hurt. You said I wasn't that good of a caller anyway when you was explaining that to somebody. So, but today, I just want to talk about my boy Billy Napier. I think he's done pretty doggone good for only being there for 9 months now. And you talk about Josh Hopple all the time. He's been there a whole year and a half. Don't you think Billy Napier's doing pretty good?
Well, again, I don't know. He's lost 2 games, and he could have lost more. I think it's very difficult to judge a coach after a couple of games. I mean, I tend to think we all do, but I'd rather wait till I get a little more of a sample before I give him the Good Housekeeping Caller of the Year award.
Yeah, but you can see right down to the wire. That don't that account for something?
Not really, unless you're betting on the game.
So you're just down on him anyway.
I'm not down on Billy Napier at all. I've never said that. I've never inferred that. I'm simply saying that he's made some curious decisions. I've always liked Billy Napier. I think he potentially can turn this program around, but I think we tend to overhype all these guys. And, you know, I remember talking to some people the morning of the Kentucky game, and I thought Richardson was going to win the Heisman and Florida was going to win the national championship, and then reality struck.
I never said that. I said a 9-3 record's possible.
Well, anything's possible, okay? But what's realistic is you got 2 losses already. I see 3, I see 4. Yeah, I mean, I'd say 8-4 would be the high side of where I would go.
Nothing's written in stone yet.
Well, no, that's why we that's exactly right. But I appreciate your call, Bruce. Nothing's ever written in stone until it is. Let's talk to Greg in Louisville. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? I think you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Hey, I got 2 questions. Well, first question is, when do you see Kentucky losing their first game? And the second question, I'll be talking to all my UK friends. I look at us maybe going 10-2 or 10-3, but I'm hoping we're just 10-1. But I think the only game we'll lose is Georgia. That's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Greg, I would gently remind you you're going to Ole Miss this weekend, but hate to be the bearer of bad news. Shannon is up next. Hello, Shannon. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm the first time getting a chance to call you.
Well, thank you.
I kind of grew up listening to you on the radio with my dad and all them and so forth. but I won't keep you long. I do have a question for you, kind of maybe like two questions. Where Alabama and Georgia set right now based off of the way they're playing and the way Tennessee's playing and Kentucky and Ole Miss. As far as having a bigger threat to Alabama, would you say it would be Ole Miss before Tennessee, or is it going to be Tennessee?
Well, I think right now it's Arkansas. And I'm only using...
I guess what I'm asking is, like, do you think Lane Kiffin's got Ole Miss where he wants him?
Well, I agree with you. I think that could be a tough game, but I don't know yet. And you know, to me, the only way you can tell whether a team is any good or not is how it does against the better teams. And Ole Miss hasn't played anybody yet. They beat Georgia Tech, and we all tried, oh, Georgia Tech's great because they only lost to Clemson by 4 touchdowns. They're not great. They just fired the head coach the other day. We'll find out about Ole Miss this weekend. And I think if Ole Miss can beat Kentucky at home, then we better take them very seriously.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you gave a score for the Alabama and Arkansas game, what would you say it'd be?
I would go maybe 2 touchdowns right now. That's how I haven't, you know, I'm not an analyst. I'm not an odds maker. But to me, Alabama has not done well on the road in the SEC in recent history. And that's not an opinion. That's an absolute fact based on the Texas game recently, 2 weeks ago, the Auburn game last year, the Florida game, the A&M game. They've only had 1 good road win in the last 2 years, and that was at Mississippi State. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's check in with Oklahoma. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Big 12. When Oklahoma and Texas leave the Big 12, how you think the Big 12 is going to play out, man? Because I think going to be some other teams leading Big 12 too, like Baylor and maybe Oklahoma State and maybe other teams, you know.
Well, I think football purists are going to try to sell you on the Big 10, still going to be a good league. You got UCF, really? Does anybody care about them? They'll have Houston. Sometimes they're really a good team. Cincinnati, I think, is a respectable team. Who's the other one?
You got, I think it's AB or
yeah, the one from UCF the, they got one from the, like they got one from the from out west too, and
yeah.
To me it's when you lose Oklahoma and Texas, it's like a house losing its roof. I mean, it's a good looking house except it doesn't have a roof over it, and to me the league suffers badly. You can't make me a believer in the Big 12, even though Kansas State's better than it used to be and Kansas is better. These are all really cute stories, and Okie State, you're still losing the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and I think every year it's going to be teams go to other conferences every single year. All right, Paul, thank you.
You bet. Thank you for calling. Let's continue here with Eric in Athens. Eric, go right ahead.
Mr. Feinbaum, it's good to talk to you on a Tuesday afternoon, my friend.
Thank you.
I'm hoping you're doing well. Everything's going well for you. And just got a couple things for you, Paul, and then I'll hang up and just let you get your thoughts on everything.
Sure.
So the first thing is, fellow dog fans need to take a deep breath and relax. A.D. Mitchell, Arian Smith, and Jalen Carter are all going to get 100% very shortly. And my advice to fellow dog fans, you need to take a deep breath and relax after what happened to Kent State. Otherwise, you're going to have a heart attack before you're 50. And my second thing is, so USA Today and other media outlets, Paul, have named Athens as like the number one college town and city in the SEC and one of the top in the nation. And I heard you talking about the Grove in Oxford the other day and how it's a bucket list to go to at least once in your lifetime. And I just want to get your thoughts on how the Classic City is ranked number one, and if you agree with that ranking. And before I hang up and listen to you, the gentleman who called a couple times before me about Florida going 9-3, he needs to lay off the daytime drinking, because that's an outrageous take. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think Athens is a phenomenal college town, and I agree with the assessment. The Grove is a bucket list because it's so unique. To me, Athens is, there's not one thing that you see before a game or during the weekend that is comparable to the Grove. It's the overall experience as a college town. Athens has everything. Oxford is nice. It's phenomenal. They're different type of cities, though. One's a little bit larger. But yeah, you go to the square in Oxford, and you will, you know, you have your choice of 10 different restaurants, maybe more. You got one of the most iconic bookstores in the world, and you've got a beautiful campus as well. Thank you very much. Mike is in New York. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hey there.
I really enjoy your show. Very nice. Very informative. One question. Why is Alabama and Auburn afraid to come up north and play our Columbia lines in quote-unquote Yankee Stadium?
Well, first of all, Mike, I didn't know that game was in the offing. For Alabama to go on the road, it usually
come
requires...
Up there, so we can't get... There won't be a game, sure.
When was the last time
Mike,
slow down. I know that's hard for a New Yorker. When was the last time Columbia played at Yankee Stadium?
A long time.
And do you know why Columbia hasn't played at Yankee Stadium?
Probably because they're kind of a second-rate team... Yeah. With a small student body.
That's correct. Columbia once went about 3 or 4 years in a row without winning a game. listen.
What other team can say that?
No, I agree. I've been to Columbia. I spoke on that campus a couple of years ago, and it was one of the most memorable experiences of my life to be on that campus and speaking to that journalism school, because it has one of the best reputations of any in the entire country. But the football team leaves a lot to be desired. Thanks for the call. We will be right back. More to come after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls and talk to Bogey in Montgomery. Hello, Bogey.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. What
hey
a great couple of phone calls preceding me. Like Poindexter from Georgia and some Yankee wanted to know why Alabama didn't play in the polo grounds. Come on. I want to ask you, though, about the Brian Harsin persecution.
Okay.
And for one thing, they mentioned recruiting. Lack of recruiting, no success. But how has he been expected? How can you expect him to succeed? Coaches generally get kind of a pass on the first year. They're just trying to cobble together, save the class, do whatever they can to cobble together a decent recruiting class and do something year two. But with the unfounded and despicable character assassination that was pulled on Harsin in the offseason, of course he's not going to bring in another class.
Hey, Bogey, let's keep it real here for 1 second. Number one, I agree with you. It was unfounded and it was despicable. But do you also remember that the majority of recruiting is now done in December? And when the events that you referred to were came to light, I think it was late January, early February. I can't remember exactly the date. we were within a couple of days of recruiting, and he still was having a miserable year. So I think it would be disingenuous of you or anyone to suggest that that event affected last year's recruiting.
I'm talking about this year's recruiting class.
Part of the reason that the alums were so upset was the fact that they were doing so poorly in recruiting. Now, I agree with you about this year, but you know that it happened, and there's nothing you can do about it. Once the damage was done, it may have been better just to get rid of him. I don't know.
You mentioned it, and not even giving a full year. Are you kidding me? You mentioned the alums. Why would any proven head football coach, and I'll hang up to listen to this answer, head football coach want to come to Auburn with any type of expectation that the Auburn mafia slash cartel is going to put their hands in their pockets, get away, and pun intended, leave the reins of the program to somebody else? I don't see why. Your opinion. You guys have a great afternoon.
Well, Bogey, thanks for the question, but you're again missing the point. You can't win today without the boosters. I mean, there was many years where college football tried to get the boosters out. The boosters are critical now. So, if you're going to be successful, you can't tell the cartel, "I'm not dealing with you." You need them. They're paying the freight. It's a new world. You know that, or I think you should. Well, you should know that. Now, everyone wants to point to Nick Saban. Oh, well, Nick Saban came in and laid the law down. What he laid the law down about was, I don't need interference from the boosters telling me what to do. I'm going to run my own program. But it's pretty obvious Nick Saban needs the boosters right now. And that's why he ended up saying what he did about Jimbo Fisher back in May. He was pleading with boosters to put more money in the till so he could recruit better. I mean, Bogey, we've been talking for a long time. I know you felt better. Maybe it was cathartic to get it off your chest to blast the Auburn cartel one more time. But think again, okay? Thanks for the call. Let's check in with Macy next. Hey, Macy, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
I was wondering, what do you think the chances are that Tennessee will win against LSU?
Well, I think pretty good. Right now, LSU is a favorite this weekend against Auburn. I think that's a really important game for them to win. If they look good, then I think they'll have a reasonable chance against Tennessee. But I would probably go with Tennessee today if I had to pick that game. But I always hate to do it without having seen the previous week.
Yeah.
Well, thank
I think
you
that Tennessee did good on the last game that they played.
Well, they were great. Thank you for the call. Jim is up next.
Now, this is a help the show, new day, new outlook, everything. Help the show call, Sapiens. You know, you remember Bogey? I mean, I hadn't heard that guy in probably 10 years.
No.
You remember him, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as soon as he started calling, I'm like going, is this the same guy? And, of course, it was.
It sounds exactly like he did probably 9 or 10 years, maybe more, 10
yeah,
years ago at least.
Could be.
And he was a good caller, but he and I used to argue a lot, and he used to get on me. But, I mean, Paul, don't run off a good caller. Bogey's a good caller.
Well, Jim, I mean, I'm not trying to run off a good caller, but how many times have you called and said, you need to set these people straight? He was flawed.
So what?
I just set him so straight in his logic. He was completely flawed.
Hey, Paul, newsflash. You do need to set him straight. You do, really.
That's all I was trying to do. And listen, I'm not crazy about the cartel either, Jim, but he was blaming he was blaming these guys for something that they didn't do. Recruiting was over by
really
the time that happened.
As Shane used to say, I didn't really get the essence of the call. I was just glad to hear Bogey again.
Well, I was too. To me, he used to serve a purpose.
The only good thing has come out of Montgomery in 25 or 30 years, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, as even though I didn't like the call, he's still the best Montgomery caller we have.
Thank you. I totally agree. I mean, what a refreshing time.
Did you hear the unnamed caller's call yesterday?
No.
It was about a 45-second call where he praised Harsin And then he hung up. I mean, it was like eating 4-day old mashed potatoes found in a gutter.
Who was it? You don't know who it was?
His first initial is I. We're up against a break. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.